The first part of the gospel, the disciples are seeing Jesus for the second time. And there they are, and Peter says as he waits for Jesus, I'm going to go fishing. And so they go out into the boat, all of them together, returning once again to the living that they had made before they met Jesus. And you know the rest of that story, how they didn't catch anything and Jesus has them fish on the right side. By the way, you missed an awesome sermon involving a fishing pole and two buckets for the kids. Use your imagination. But then, once ashore, Jesus gathers the disciples, and another weird twist of fate. If I've never understood this in Scripture. Peter is fishing naked in the boat, and he puts on his clothes before he jumps in. I've never quite figured that one out. And then Jesus fixes them breakfast on the shore, and there they are together, eating a little broiled fish and having a conversation when Jesus turns to Peter and says to him, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, of course I love you." And then a second time, Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." And then a second time, Jesus turns to Peter, who's got some fish in his mouth, and he says, "Do you love me?" And Peter looks a little confused and says, "Yes, Lord, of course I love you." And Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." And a third time, Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Do you love me?" And Peter gets annoyed. "Of course, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep." Now, hopefully you may have made a corollary between the first time these questions sort of get asked. If you remember in the courtyard before Jesus is being tried, Peter denies Jesus. And now later on, as Jesus comes again, Jesus understandably perhaps is asking Peter, "Well, you know, in light of everything that's happened, do you love me?" "Of course I do, Lord. Of course I love you." I wonder sometimes if that's not the question being asked of us these days. And I wonder how we in the world will answer that question from God. "Do you love me?" It gets answered in all kinds of interesting ways, and some of them lately have become really disturbing. Recently, there's some legislation happening in the South in which people are asserting that because of their love of God, that there must be legislation passed to allow retailers to discriminate against people on the basis of their sexual orientation. And this was sneaked in on the side. I didn't realize until somebody in Bible study told me. Also, if you're in a relationship and you're unmarried. I don't know how you tell exactly. I don't carry my marriage license around with me. But all of this is happening because we are receiving an answer to the question, how is it that I will love God? And if the answer is that the way that I'm going to love God is by excluding certain people, I wonder if our answer is sufficient. And yet, over and over again, we see things happening in the world, not so much as an assertion of a political right, but again and again we're saying, well, look, if you make me do this, then you're interfering with the way that I want to love God. And it puzzles me. It puzzles me that our answer to the question, sometimes, our answer to the question, "Do you love me?" is, "Well, I love you, Lord, and this is how I'm going to show it. This is how I'm going to feed your lambs." By excluding people. That seems a little odd. Or Jesus, God asking, do you love me? And we say, well, yes. And not only do I love you, but I'm going to make awfully sure that everyone else loves you the same way I love you. And if they don't, yeah, Jean-Paul goes, typical Frenchman. Off with their heads! Thank you, Jean-Paul. But isn't it true? Don't you see this happening in the world? It's so odd. The question that Jesus asks Peter is, do you love me? And somehow, in some parts of our world, we've shifted that question from, do you love me? And it becomes, do you love God in the same way that I love God? They're two different questions, and yet that's becoming an overarching theme in these last days. We create moral laws based on how we understand things. We even hoist wars on the fact that we don't believe in God the same way that you believe in God, and therefore, I always pick on you, I'll pick on my wife. Sorry, Randy, it's your day off. You know, if Gene believes in God in a certain way, and it doesn't match the way that I believe in God, well, then we should set up a holy war or maybe create a new law that keeps women in blue dresses from worshiping God, because clearly that's not right. Do you love me, God asks Peter. And Peter says, yes, I do. And Jesus responds, feed my sheep, tend my lambs. What will it mean for us to love God then? Do we love God through exclusion? Do we love God by creating laws that exclude people based on their sexual orientation or their gender or their color or their religious beliefs? Do we want to shape our world in response to the question, do you love me, to be a world of hate? Is that what it's about? We create holy wars and legislation. We create worlds, whole worlds and communities that are not about loving God, but about asserting ourselves. Three times Jesus asks, do you love me? And three times Peter answers, yes, I do. And do you remember then what Jesus asks Peter and the disciples to do? Does he ask them to create jihad or to create a new legislation? Does he ask them to create a closed community in which only people who are fishermen, good fishermen, which would exclude me, can be a part of it? What is Jesus' command to Peter and the disciples? Do you remember? Were you here? You almost got it. Feed them, yeah, all that. You're so close and yet so far. Follow me. It's the last part of it. And the last part of the scripture, Jesus says, to love me is follow. Not all this other stuff. It's disconcerting that we don't understand that. It's disconcerting that here in the midst of even of Christianity, that we take follow me to mean follow me. But we follow Christ, who does not form his community around exclusion or holy wars, but around a charcoal brazier with fish. The community of Christ gathers on the shore to be fed and to feed. To follow Christ is to follow him to the cross. To follow Christ is to follow in love. To follow Christ is to build up the body of Christ in peace and in healing. Do you love me? Jesus asks Peter. Of course I do. So follow me, he says. And Jesus gathers us around that same community, built in healing and peace and openness and acceptance. And we too are called to put on our clothes and do the unlikely leap into the lake, that we can gather around that same fire with Christ and be renewed and remade. Somehow, follow me does not seem to include the desire to exclude those that we do not understand or love, to base our community on excluding those of a certain color or a certain gender, a certain sexual orientation, or even, quite frankly, political affiliation. Any of those things by which we divide ourselves and create holy wars has nothing to do with following Christ. Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. And follow Christ. That is what we are called to as this body in this place. Amen.